as brothers and sisters. So, Lord, thank you for that blessing and this opportunity to do this. Thank you for your word and that we can study it. Lord, help us to look at it tonight, be able to grow in knowledge, be able to pattern our lives after how you would want us to live, Lord, and to be able to be content and to be able to live joyful, peaceful lives and knowing that you have saved us and you have died for us and that we're here for but a short moment and then our true life begins, Lord, with you. And so we look forward to that. And Lord, we ask that you would come quickly. We look forward to being with you. And I ask your blessing on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We can turn to 1 Kings. I really believe that looking at all these kings and you think, I mean, Nadab and Jeroboam and Baasha, when are we ever going to, I believe just a general knowledge, and not just general, but a good knowledge of the Bible and all these things helps you in the New Testament. I mean, especially when we get in Isaiah and all this stuff, you can see the stuff Jesus Christ said. I mean, he quotes the Old Testament time after time, and a good knowledge of that really helps us as we study and understand the New Testament. And that's how we want to interpret the Bible, is by using the Bible. And so we're in 1 Kings. Tonight we're going to look at, basically, we're going to look at a lot of kings tonight. We're going to go through it halfway quickly here. But a man named Baasha and his son Elah, they basically repeat the same things that Jeroboam did and Nadab. And we're going to see that history does repeat itself, and we need to learn from it. We can learn from our examples in the Bible. We don't have to look at this. We don't have to make the same mistakes that were made because people have made them. We can learn from them. We can see what God says about these things. So 1 Kings chapter 15, and we ended last time in verse 31. So let's begin there. Verse 31. It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel?" So Nadab was Jeroboam's son. He only reigned for 2 years. Really, probably only parts of, not even a full 2 years. And it says, "Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah, 24 years. So this next man after Nadab was, there was Jeroboam, the man who caused Israel to sin. There was his son who walked in the ways of his father for 2 years, and then he was killed. And he was killed by a man named Baasha. And Baasha reigned for 24 years. It says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin." So you would think, all right, you're going to assassinate this Nadab, you're going to kill him, and you're going to take over, you're going to make some sweeping changes. Wouldn't you think? I mean, you're assassinating the guy, things are going to change in that nation. And I think we think that every 4 years. You know, we're going to bring somebody in, it's going to change, and it's going to just sweeping changes. But then, if God could write it, pretty much our people continue in the sins of whoever was before. I mean, not a lot of things change. I think they progressively get farther and farther away from God's word. And so we're basically continuing in the same things all the time. But here, this man Baasha, he came up in verse 27, we see. He came up, conspired against Nadab, and he slayed him and reigned in his stead. But it says that he continued in the same way that Jeroboam, walking in the same way wherewith he made Israel to sin. That's why last weekend we looked at how Jeroboam made him to sin. Remember, he kind of started his own religion. Jeroboam had his own holy places, his own feasts, his own 2 golden calves. And Baasha continued that. Didn't change that at all. Because he continued in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So we know he did not change things religiously. Baasha did change things a little bit, the way he fought, because basically Jeroboam had left Judah alone. And there was a northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. He left them alone. But now when Baasha became king, he decided to go down and take a city. He decided to go down and fight against Asa. And that's when Asa, remember, he asked for Ben-Hadad of Syria to come and break his league with Baasha, and he did, so Baasha had to leave and go back to the north. But at the start of Baasha's reign, he was more aggressive towards Judah. So that's really the only change we can see after the assassination, and he took place of him. But we come to chapter 16. We find out that God basically gives the same prophecy towards Baasha as he did to Jeroboam. Let's read in chapter 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, For as much as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel. So again, we see that God, even in this guy coming from the tribe of Issachar, kind of out of nowhere, he killed Nadab, he became king. God says, I made thee from dust to king. And on our Sunday night Daniel study, we saw that again, that God can turn the hearts whithersoever He wills. God reigns. He makes people king. He sets down kings. He did that again here. And so He made Baasha king. I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel. And thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, with all the same false religion that they had. Behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So basically gives the same prophecy because this Baasha did the same things Jeroboam did. Him that dieth of Baasha, in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. They will not be buried. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Baasha got this prophecy, but it wasn't taken out on him, just like the prophecy wasn't taken out on Jeroboam. It was taken out on their sons. And so we come to verse 7. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the works of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. So Jeroboam reigned for a long time, then his son reigned 2 years. Baasha reigned a long time, then his son reigned 2 years. See what happens to his son. And we see that the capital was in Tirzah. And that's where he reigned in 2 years. But his servant and his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, were in verse 9. Conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. So his son, his dad took the kingdom. His dad was king for 24 years. His son's just beginning to be king. He's drinking himself drunk in the capital city. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned in his stead. So exactly as Baasha did to Nadab, Zimri did to Elah. History repeated itself. God gave Baasha a chance to make a change. He didn't. Same thing happened to him. And it came to pass. And so now we have this next guy, this next king, Zimri. Let's see about his reign. It came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinfolks nor of his friends. Not one male did he leave. Just like God had said, his posterity was cut off. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha, and for the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin, and provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Their worthless acts of worshiping these golden calves. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So we have Elah that reigned for 2 years. Now we got this man, Zimri, that's on the throne. He killed everybody, all the men of Baasha's house. We come to verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. So, it's just chaos in this northern kingdom. I mean, people getting assassinated, people reigning for 2 years, here 7 days. The people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, and the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And so the people were not happy that Zimri had assassinated Baasha's son, Elah, right? He didn't have the people behind him. He kind of did this on his own. So Omri was made king that day by the people that were in the camp, by the army. He was the captain of the host. And so they made him their own king. So now we got the people's king over here, Omri, and he got this guy who assassinated Elah, Zimri, in Tirzah. I love all these names. So everybody, we got it clear here. So in this 7 days, a lot has happened. And so Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah, the capital city. So Omri gets all the army. They stop fighting the Philistines or whoever they were fighting, and they come up and they surround their own capital city where Zimri's at, the guy who assassinated Elah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, and that he went into the palace of the king's house, and he burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. Kind of reminds you of Adolf Hitler, the way he died, didn't he? He saw it was over. The handwriting was on the wall. And so killed himself. And he says, if I'm going down, I'm going to burn this whole palace with me. So he took this palace in Tirzah, burned it down. He died in the fire when he saw that he had nobody with him. For his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel a sin. So in the 7 days, and obviously God looked at his heart, he wasn't thinking he's going to become king to try to change Jeroboam's false religion. So he was judging. He had a chance in those 7 days. God probably would have honored him if he would have tried to turn them back to God, but he didn't. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So we have this man that reigned for 7 days. Then he killed himself and burned himself down with the city, or with the palace, was burnt. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri, this captain that came and besieged the city. So you think he would be king, but there's still half the people out there with this other guy in mind, Tibni. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. So now we got the start of a new dynasty. So we had Jeroboam, and his dynasty only lasted 2 years with his son. Then we had Baasha, his dynasty only lasted 2 years. Then you had this guy for 7 days. And now we start a new dynasty. We have Zimri kind of out there on his own. Okay, so now we have this new dynasty, the Omri. And Omri's, this is where we start getting some names that we know, because his son was Ahab. So it's not going to be Omri and then 2 years with his son. Ahab's going to do a lot of things. Elijah, we're talking about the times of Elijah. So we're getting into some names that we know here. But let's see about Omri. Verse 23. In the 31st year of Asa, so Asa's been king all this time. Most of the time Asa was king, it was Baasha. But then his son, Elah, for 2 years. Then this guy for 7 days. Asa's still down there being a good king down in Judah. So, in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. So he reigned for 12 years, Omri did. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, the capital city that they just burnt down, or that the palace was burnt down. But only 6 of those years was in Tirzah. He bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and built on the hill, and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. So Omri's the man who built Samaria. So when we come to the time of Jesus' day, there were these Samaritans from Samaria. That all began with the northern kingdom. They moved the capital up there to this place called Shemer when he bought this hill, moved the capital there, and called the place Samaria. So we hear about the Good Samaritan, all these things. They were, by the time Jesus was here, which would be about 800 years later, they were kind of a mix of half Jews, half wherever else they married. So the true Jews of Judah, they didn't consider these Samaritans to be Jews. But remember when Jesus talked to that woman at the well, and she said, Jews say we worship in Jerusalem, and We say we worship on this hill, and Jesus said, the time cometh and now is that they that worship shall worship in spirit and in truth. But that's this hill we're talking about here. Remember, they started their own religion. And you see Omri, he's buying into this Jeroboam-started religion. It got so much that 800 years later, the Samaritans still thought, and there is still a group of Samaritans today. They can just marry each other. There's only like 712 of them left as of 2005. But there's still some Samaritans which worship on this holy hill, right here that this is talked about. And they keep the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, plus they have some of their own Samaritan books that they have. But they're trying to keep this little group going of Samaritans. But it all began with Jeroboam, his false religion, and then Omri takes it another level and has this hill, and it got worked in that you worship towards this holy hill or in this hill. So that's Samaria. I mean, this stuff, it fits in. I mean, all this stuff adds to our understanding of the New Testament. So Samaria began with Omri. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did, and his might that he shewed, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. So this all takes us to Ahab. And we'll get there next week when we look at King Ahab, who he married, what was her name? Jezebel. Was she an Israelite? Yeah. But she wasn't even an Israelite, was she? She was some other nation. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. And God, I believe, I mean, he's not blessing any of this because of that sin that Jeroboam caused them to sin by substituting other things in their religion. And so this hill, I have a little more facts about this hill of Samaria. 42 miles north of Jerusalem is where it's at. It's about 300 foot tall. They built it up on here. It was great for, I mean, fighting off any attacks. It was a great place for a capital to be. And so he moved it from Tirzah to Samaria. So that was the capital of the northern kingdom. I wanted to leave, because we look at all these things, look at these kings, and it helps us, especially this background on Samaria can help us. But we see in this northern kingdom just, I mean, these are kings and they got all this stuff, you imagine. I mean, they're going to be as rich or richer than anybody in the nation. They should be living this great life, but they're dying. They're getting their bodies licked up in the streets. They're having terrible lives, even though they have all this material stuff around. Let's go to Proverbs. I still believe we live in the world, and the world bombards us day after day, and our flesh bombards us. I mean, in that stuff, we need more things. We're not content. Our flesh is not content with the things that we have. And we think that having more money, more stuff, more whatever it is the answer. That's what our flesh tells us. That's what the world tells us. But these guys had it all, worldly speaking. But I wouldn't want their life. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little, Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. When these kings had great treasure, they had trouble. Always had to be looking over their shoulder on who's going to assassinate me, all these kind of things. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You have an ox in the stall, you could say nowadays, having a Lamborghini in the garage, but you got hatred. It's better to have herbs to eat than a Lamborghini in the garage and hatred in your house. And we got to keep in mind what's important. Let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 8. It's just when I looked at these kings' life and what their life must have been like and the chaos there was, even though they had all the worldly things. Proverbs 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. If you had a house full of sacrifice, you'd have lots of things, you know, your lambs, your goats, your bulls, your all that stuff, but you got strife. In Proverbs 19, verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So it's not about material things. It's about walking in integrity, walking in righteousness, fearing God. Those are the things that truly, as Jeremy said earlier, I mean, the joy that we can have, the joy that God promises. But I do believe Satan, the god of this world, wants the world to try to get in and try to make us where we're not content with the things that we have. So we don't have that joy because we're looking over here seeing what he has and he has or what, you know. But the Bible's pretty clear on what brings joy. And these kings didn't have it. And they were all, there was no fear of the Lord in their eyes. So we got through a lot today. We've got Jeroboam, Nadab, then Baasha, Elah, Zimri for 7 days, then Omri. And then we're going to come to Ahab next week. If we don't go back to, we'll go back to Judah too. So we'll see which one's first. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that you have for us. Thank you for the history that's recorded. Thank you for this book that ties all together. And thank you most for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I thank you for sending your Son and having your plan for him to die for us and shed his blood for us. Lord, help us not to take that for granted and not to live life like that's not reality. And help us to live for you, Lord. Thank you for brothers and sisters here tonight. I ask you to be with us as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.